So welcome, everybody, to episode one of the Run It Three Ways podcast, joined by your co-hosts, Callum, Tom, and myself, Ben. The podcasting world is very much new to us, so bear with us on this episode as we figure it all out. I'm sure, naturally, over the next few episodes, we'll polish things up. But in the meantime, thanks for joining us. So, guys, that's the formalities done. Welcome to the podcast. How are we all?
Thank you very much,
all
Ben.
Good. All good. Yeah, all Thank good. You, boys.
Pleasure to have you both here. How have your weeks been?
Yeah, not so good for me, I'm afraid, but we'll get on to that. Sorry to be doom and gloom on episode one, but it's not been fantastic for me. What about yourself?
Just having a bit of an easy week this week, coming back off the back of Valencia. I think we're kind of all in the same boat. We've all got a little bit of a cold, taking it a little bit easy in terms of the running at the moment, but that's just what winter training is all about, ups and downs.
Yeah, sure is. I think I've had a dodgy 3 months, to be honest, since
you
London.
Certainly have, mate.
But that's,
be interesting
that's
to
good.
Jump into that as well.
Yeah, it's like I was saying to you yesterday, Ben. It's nice to start from zero, really, and hopefully
over this
podcast go through that process of from basically no running back to being fit again. But we shall see.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I was just thinking as well from a episode one standpoint, it might be good to give a little bit of background as to who each of us are. Obviously, we've got the first names out there in the bio, but
a little bit
of background on who we are and potentially where we are in our running at the moment. So, Tom, it sounds like you were about to share a little bit on yourself. So, why don't you fire away?
Well, how far back are we going?
I don't need to know what you had for your breakfast or where you were born.
I'm Tom. If you don't know me, I used to kick a ball around for a living as a football freestyler, and then found running about 4.5-5 years ago. And since then, I've been on a bit of a whirlwind with it, and it's now my entire life. So I work for Pro Direct Running, the retailer here in the UK, as a producer and digital content editor, which is essentially a fancy word for making videos and writing stuff about running shoes. So that's what I do as a job. And running wise, I'm off the back of London Marathon. It feels like a lifetime ago, but the wounds are still quite fresh from it, to be honest. We can get more into that, I suppose, during the week of training. But I'm in the process of just coming back from a little bit of disappointment at London and trying to build myself back up again.
That's great, Tom. Thanks for that. I guess I could follow on from that, talking about ProDirect. That's actually how me and Tom sort of met each other, and where I came up with the idea of having a little bit of a podcast set up. Originally, me and Tom obviously worked together through my links on YouTube and with ProDirect, sort of some shoe reviews. I met Tom there and we had a good chat. And we've been friends ever since. But just a little bit more about me in terms of my running journey. I started running properly, I say, in around 2019. I ran a little bit as a kid. But I started running when I moved to Stockholm in Sweden straight after university. And I joined a local running club just to meet new people, really. And I've fell in love with the sport ever since. Started doing park runs. I think my first few park runs were around the 22-minute mark. So I had a little bit of natural talent for running. I was always finishing the top sort of like 50 park runners. And then every week I would go along and try and get quicker and quicker. And now I'm doing running and YouTube and content creation as my full-time job ever since November last year. I quit my full-time job as a chef, and I've been all in with the running and the content side of things. So I've got the YouTube channel now. The podcast was the next thing to tick off. That's a little bit about me. Do you want to jump in, Callum?
Yeah, definitely. I don't have the same camera skills and background as you guys, but at least I can talk. So potentially the podcast is the one for me.
Exactly. When I was thinking of starting this podcast, I was like, who can talk about running? And there's one guy I know who can talk about running probably for hours and hours, and that is yourself, Callum. So
yeah,
that's why you've been invited on the pod.
It's going to be dangerous, this podcast, because I can just tell week after week I'm going to just say some, like, not cancelable stuff, but I'm going to say some stuff in the running world that's just going to be frowned upon, but we'll take it one step at a time.
Exactly. We can always edit things out if we need to, but we'll try and keep it as honest as possible.
No, I love the controversy. Let's get as much controversy as possible.
Yeah, do you want to kick us off with something controversial then, Tom?
No, my week is controversial, but let's hear a little bit about Callum first, shall we?
Yeah, Callum Elson, primarily middle distance athlete, been running for a good few years now, on and off, but last couple of years I've started to take it a little bit more seriously. Recently ran for GB at the European Country Championships last weekend, a week ago from recording, so that was a pretty big step up.
Incredible.
And I was away in America, actually. I should have mentioned that last year, for a year at university, where I kind of made a big step up in my running. So since coming back this summer, I've just been, you know, trying to get a bit more active on the kind of commercial and social side of the sport. So hence meeting people like Tom and Ben and trying to build a bit more personal profile, but then mainly trying to crack down and do some good running at the same time. So, you know, focus on my training and push on to a international level. But it's going to be really interesting, I think, the podcast, as Tom was mentioning, because we can follow each of our own individual journeys. But a big part of what we're trying to do is hopefully find people in the audience and community that grows that can relate to different elements of each of our journeys or where we're at with running. And we want to try and involve the audience as much as possible, answering your questions, getting you involved and kind of, you know, bringing you into the episode. So yeah, as much as we're going to ramble on about our own weeks for a little bit of each episode, and that might be interesting, it might be not, we're hopefully going to, you know, mix in some other things. So yeah, should be pretty good.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest bonus of all of this, to be honest, is that all three of us are at very different stages of running, I suppose, with yourself, Callum, you know, challenging for GB vests and performing on a very high level. Ben, obviously, over the last year or so, you've been banking serious mileage, and since you kind of went full time with running, have seen unbelievable results, most notably, you know, your half in Copenhagen and debut marathon. And then myself, who's sort of the runt of the litter from a running standpoint, but kind of looking at what you've done, Ben, seeing that we probably had similar talent levels from when we first started running, and seeing what's possible when you just put that, lay down those foundations and go all in with it. So I think between us, we've got different expertise within the running arena, if you like, and hopefully at least someone will find some of what we've got to say interesting.
Yeah, that's the hope, isn't it? So, we're basically all like-minded individuals. We've all got our own journeys. So it's going to be a really exciting thing to sit down and do at the end of our weeks. We're actually recording this on a Sunday, which is when we plan to record this moving forward. And the first sort of part of the episode, if you like, we're just going to go through our weeks of running, sitting here on a Sunday. This episode will probably come out early in the week, so maybe you're out for your Monday run or Tuesday run. But yeah, we're just going to go through our running weeks. Not the most interesting of running weeks from us this week, as we've all got a little bit of colds or in between sort of racing or building back from injury. So yeah, who wants to kick us off with going through your race week? Your training weeks.
Tom, were you about to take it? Because if not, I'm game to take it.
No, I was going to say I should probably go first. purely because my week shouldn't take that long to go through. There's not a huge amount of running involved. I should say, as a bit of context, before I go through this week and people question whether or not I'm actually a runner. my build up to London Marathon was very good. So coached by Andy Hobdell, real privilege to be coached by him, to be honest. But I had probably the best training block I've ever had in my life. It was about 14 to 15 weeks. And you know, when you're just fit, like you're just running well, covering the ground well, every session was perfect. Never missed a run, never missed a split of a session, to be honest. It was almost too good. And then things all kind of fell to pieces on the actual marathon race day itself with some weird underlying issue with my left leg. And since then, with that combined with just endless bouts of illness, you know, I think it's the time of year for it, but also having a young daughter who just started at a new nursery, it's been savage with that. So I've barely got going again since London. And I'm hoping this podcast will be a nice rekindling of that spark. But anyway, with that out of the way, Monday, we've had some awful weather here, haven't we? We've had some
Certainly
absolutely
have.
awful weather.
Started the week off with snow, didn't we? I don't know about you guys,
Yes.
but I had probably about 2 or 3 inches where I live. So that made interesting running conditions on the Monday.
Yeah, exactly. So the good thing about this, so Monday I went out at lunchtime. And like I say, nothing crazy at the moment. It was just an easy 30 minutes, which probably say the paces that we ran at as well, shouldn't we?
Yeah,
I
sure.
suppose.
As detailed
Yeah.
as possible.
Yeah, let's do it. So I ran 6.5 kilometers in 29 minutes and 56 seconds, 4 minutes 36 per kilometer. And you'll have
In
to
the
bear with
snow.
me. I switch between miles and Ks. That's what Andy does. He'll send me a week of training and you'll have 10 miles at 4 minute K pace, or you'll have, like K reps, but it'll say at 5:20 mile pace or whatever it may be. So bear with me on that. But yeah, I put on my Strava description. I can't feel my face, but it's nice to actually quite enjoy running again. So I think this was the first run for a long time where it just felt fun and easy to run again.
On a
And
Monday as well. That's a
yeah,
great start to the week.
on a Monday, I took out the Saucony Endorphin Edge for this as well, which for those who don't
Oh
know
yeah.
is the bright pink kind of super trail shoe. You've got a carbon plate in there, some great traction on the bottom as well. But yeah, just simple out and back down the canal. The shoe was lovely on that sort of terrain, to be honest. And yeah, not much else to say about that. On to Tuesday. Now this one didn't go very well. I was set 5 miles in 30 minutes, which I don't know exactly what the pace conversion is of that, but it's about six minute miling, which normally is it, well it was marathon pace, so it shouldn't be challenging. It's just a standard steady run that Andy likes to set. But the effort level from the get-go was absolutely through the roof. And I've written absolutely nothing about this run on Strava, which is when it was a real stinker.
Just wanted to forget about it straight away.
Exactly. So I did 6K instead of 8 and a bit. And pace wise, like I say, it should have been, 340s, and even high 350s was really tough. And I think sometimes you just got to know when it's not your day. And it shouldn't have been a hard run, so I pulled it early, and jogged to the co-op after that. So that was Tuesday.
Did you
Not
get yourself
the greatest success story.
any fizzy drinks on the Tuesday, or is that only a long run sort of
No,
tradition that
no,
you do?
no, no, no. No, that tradition is long gone. Like all the way through the marathon block, me and my sort of training buddy, I suppose, Chris, after every marathon long run, we stopped off at this dodgy corner shop next to the station and got the most outrageous drinks that we could see, like the most colourful, sugar-rich drink. And we'd be drinking it at like 7:30 in the morning as breakfast after, 4 or 5 Morton gels. So yeah,
That sounds
we're way
delicious.
past. It was good, but I don't think you can do that unless you're marathon training,
No, but
really, and get
it
away
is
with it.
exciting. It's exciting for when the marathon comes around, because I can't wait for the reviews to be added to this podcast of all the drink
Oh,
you've had.
you're telling me the amount of different brands of drink that I'd never tried
Yeah.
before in my entire life that I was guzzling. Well, yeah, it was sensational.
Exciting stuff.
But anyway, Wednesday, I messaged Andy and said, like, I don't think we're ready for sessions or anything yet. Like, the effort level was ridiculous on that run. So again, it was just an easy 30 minutes, 4:55 per kilometer on that one. So I really took it pretty chilled there. And then what were we up to? I actually took the day off on Wednesday. And this is, yeah, I started to come down with an illness again, which, like I said, I've got a young daughter, who, if you're a parent listening to this, and you boys will find this out the hard way one day, this time of year, especially post-COVID, when kids' immune systems and stuff aren't as strong as they should be, it is absolutely savage. It's a war zone at those nurseries. Every single kid, every kid is like snotting and coughing and wheezing all over the gaff. So Summer came back from nursery. I had to pick her up early because she had a temperature, and instantly I knew I was going to come down with something. So had a bit of a head cold. When I'm running as little as I am at the moment, there's no point in kind of trying to hammer out a session for the sake of it. Took Wednesday off, and then Thursday, guess what I did? It was another 30 minutes, another easy 30 minutes, at 4:33 per kilometre pace this time.
Brilliant. So similar to your Monday run.
Yes, absolutely. And then What day are we on now? Friday. That didn't go brilliantly either. So, yeah, again, when you've got a kid who's coughing and sneezing constantly, you don't really tend to get that much sleep. So that was a write-off too. I just didn't get really a wink of sleep. And it's pretty hard when I'm with Summer overnight to get out in the morning, waking up and stuff. So I've really got to choose my timing wisely. And it just, yeah, didn't happen. So brings us on to that today, Sunday, where I actually had the most enjoyable run of the whole week, I think. Just over 6 miles, at 428 per K pace. Went up along the country roads. The weather was horrendous. It's where, you know, when it's been snowing and then it starts raining and the snow turns to slush, but it's still freezing.
Yeah.
Shocking.
Some of
shocking.
The worst conditions.
Yeah. Literally the worst running conditions, but I was just happy to be out and moving, to be honest. So yeah, that was my week. Nice little route up along the country roads though. And to be honest, it's just, like I say, it's lovely to just get out and about and, yeah, tip the legs over. But that brings us to a whopping 26.9 kilometers for the week.
Solid.
Huge.
So the only way is up from here. I'll tell you that much.
Exactly. What does next week have planned for you? Trying to build back into it a little bit more, or
31 minutes.
yeah.
just more consistency. To be honest, like I got my week through from Andy, and again, there's a lot of easy 30 minutes in there, but there's some progression runs. We'll do a little session on Wednesday, but it'll just depend on how I feel. And yeah, probably similar to this week, nothing crazy, but hopefully just need a couple of weeks of consistency before getting back to kind of normal training, which would normally be, you know, a session on a Wednesday and a Saturday, long run on a Sunday, and some progression runs and steady runs in the mix there as well. So yeah, I'm really, really desperate to get back there, to be honest now.
Yeah, and with the you mentioned the London Marathon, what was the issue you had with your leg?
Yeah, so I was noticing towards the end of some of the big sessions. So you did similar sessions, I think, during your marathon build up, Ben. But 7x3K off a K float, 4x5K, 22-mile long runs. Like, I was just aware that my left leg got more tired than my right, like disproportionately so. And I was always able to get through the session, so I put it down to just marathon training fatigue, right?
Yeah,
your legs are going to get tired at some point. In the marathon,
Summer's
you're going to
go.
Have bad points. Yeah, you're going to have rough points. And I was always able to push through. So I was prepared for something to happen during the marathon. But literally from, I think, 6 miles, like, I was running at the exact pace I should have done, the pace that we had trained at, felt amazing aerobically, was chatting away. But my left leg was just slapping on the ground. I had no real knee drive, like my foot.
You're just dragging it along.
This was the most traumatic moment of my running career. And there he is having a little giggle.
I just imagine, like, you know, when a fish gets caught and it comes out of water and it's just flopping around. That's what I
think.
Your left leg has
it. Well, that is exactly what it was like, unfortunately. But yeah, I gutted it out and I just thought, like, it's going to get better. This is just a weird little wobble and your leg is going to get better. But then the people I was running with left me, like, they dropped me and I was running solo. And it was just from 6 miles until 19 and a half, I was just,
oh dear,
yeah, like, looking for places to stop. But because London's so busy and loud, you don't feel like you can stop. So I was just, like, trying to keep running. And the splits were the same. Like, I didn't slow, but my left leg just had nothing in it.
Yeah.
And
how have you sort of addressed that over the last few weeks? Was it an injury that sort of needed complete time off to recover, or have you started more strength and conditioning work to try and sort of balance out them imbalances, or
a lot more strength stuff. So it was basically like, there's a part of my calf which just had no power at all. I don't know if you boys have been to physio where they do those strength tests where they'll, you know, lift your leg up and push down on it and ask you to, you know, resist. Right leg, everything checked out fine. Left leg, certain parts did, but then when it came to, like, trying to like dorsiflex against him putting any pressure on, I had zero strength.
Oh wow, how interesting.
Yeah, we did some calf raise tests and should be able to do, 30, 40, 50 on each leg, no worries at all. The right leg was fine, was hitting numbers that I should, that you'd expect. But on the left leg, I think it took me three attempts to get like to 15 reps or something on my left leg of just single leg calf raises. And he was like, there you go. That's what's happened. Your left leg is weak as weak as piss to put it eloquently. So that's it. It's just been a lot of calf raises since then, and just like trying to drill solid mechanics whilst running. So I was doing a lot of hill reps in the few weeks after London and stuff like that.
Yeah. And how's it been over the last few weeks? Are you still noticing it, or and is it something you're
No.
just slowly progressing in terms of getting it stronger, or?
I think that's the most frustrating thing about this injury, because it doesn't cause any pain. There's no discomfort. I can't feel it on any run apart from if I'm running, like 20 miles and upwards at pace. So it's a really difficult one to kind of gauge, because it's not as if I can go out and do a session, do like, 12 400s or something off a minute rest and feel this injury. It won't show its head at all until I do long bouts of sustained running at or around marathon pace. So just got to trust the process really, and keep up with the calf raises and hope for the best.
Yeah, that sounds good.
No, definitely, mate. I think you've done well that week because I think you've been sensible by realizing that the session didn't go well and choosing not to push on, which is a very boring thing for me to say, but I'm kind of getting some good words in before my week where I tell you I've done the exact same. So
Oh dear. Yeah.
shall I jump into mine?
Go for
Go
it,
on, put
mate.
me out of
Yeah.
my misery.
Cool. So to preface this week, I raced on Sunday. So a week ago I was racing in Italy. That was the European Cross Country Champs. So had a 1500, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it was a very hilly course and kind of obviously going full gas for the whole 4 minutes. So actually took quite a lot out of me, plus obviously a warm-up cool down, so it's not the smallest day. But that considered, Monday I felt all right. We were still in Italy, so we just went out for a bit of a jog altogether. 5.7 miles at 7:25s, so literally really steady. One question for you both about this run is, when you, I don't know if you know, when you go on holiday or to a different country, you always go out running to explore. Why is there such a higher volume of wild dogs in other countries compared to the UK?
Yeah, it's
You
true,
know,
isn't
in the
it?
UK, all dogs have an owner.
Got to
Everyone's got
take a
one.
taser out with you just in
Yeah,
case.
you go into like Italy or like God knows what some other places
Anywhere
are
in
like,
Europe,
and
really.
there's just dogs just everywhere. It's weird. Anyway, that's my thoughts on that run because there were some
Yeah.
very very loud dogs. Tuesday. This week was supposed to just be an easy week running every day, but didn't necessarily go that way. Tuesday, just 6 miles, 6.07 at 7:10s. Again, really easy. It's been icy, so you can't really go fast anyway. Surprise, surprise. Wednesday, same again, 6.65 miles at 6:40. So God got the speed up a bit, but I've attached an image of the snow just to show how hard I am wearing shorts in the snow. So check out my Strava for more content like that. And this is where things take a turn. So that was December the 14th. So what's that, Wednesday? Wednesday night started to feel a bit dodgy. Exchanged some messages with a few of the other guys that had been at the race in Italy, who had tested positive for COVID or had come down with an illness. And it was only looking one way. I was on death's door,
Oh
to say
no.
the least. A troubled night's sleep. So I thought Thursday, I'm gonna have to sack it off. I'd had sort of like 13, 14 weeks building up to the Euro trials and then Euros where I'd literally not missed a day. I was like on it every day, similar to your marathon build, Tom, that you just described. But Thursday, I was like, if I go for a run now, I'm just gonna slow down
Recovery process.
getting over from the illness, which everybody says, and I've always been like, yeah, of course you should do that. But I thought this time I'm actually gonna practice what I preach, you know, like I'm actually gonna take the day off, thinking that I'd just run Friday, but actually I didn't really improve too much. So Friday also took off. So 2 days off in a row, which I would never usually do. But to be honest, this week of all weeks, it's just about recovery anyway. So I thought it's not the end of the world. So that brings us to yesterday, where I got back on it, did 4.5 miles at 8:40 per mile, ran with my girlfriend Alice. So just nice and easy conversational run just to kind of keep my heart rate really low and see how I felt. So felt actually pretty good, so committed to running today as well. And this morning I did 7 miles exactly at 8:37s, so very similar pace, which brings us to 29.9 miles for the week. So 30 mile week, which considering the fact that from kind of the last week of August until the start of December, I was averaging about 75 miles is, you know, not much running, but considering I took 2 days off, I'm pretty happy with 30 miles, to be honest. And the fact that today I've still got a bit of a cold, but I've not made myself any worse than I was. So yeah, pretty mature week for me, comparative to what I would usually be like. And ready to, you know, back to normal next week, get some good training in, and should be, fingers crossed, touch wood, good to go.
Sounds good. I've got to ask you more about your first ever GB vest. I must admit, I was up early watching on the telly to see if I could get a glimpse of Callum. You didn't get a load of screen time, I must admit.
Mate, I've been shafted. Listen,
they don't know what's good for them.
I know.
This is episode one, right? When we record episode 500 or whatever Joe Rogan's on, like thousands, and the BBC finally listen back to our first episode. This is a message to you, BBC. All right, do your research.
Exactly.
Do your research. I'm not based in America. I live in England.
This is what they said about you, isn't it?
That's the first thing.
Callum Elson, based in America.
Yeah. And they said I'm from Fulham. Fulham, mate. I don't even know Fulham. Where's that? London. I've seen Craven Cottage once, but that's it. I'm not from Fulham.
So, oh, they've done you dirty there.
Fulham. And then, yeah, get a bit more. I know I was in like eighth or like fifth or something like that, but still, get a bit of camera work on GB at least, you know?
Exactly.
Anyway, so GB, if you're watching, Steve Cram, whoever was on commentary, probably was Steve Cram, then... You know.
At least they did say your name right, because in the trials for the Euro cross country, they just were like, oh, there's a guy in a white vest coming up, looking pretty strong. They didn't even know who you are. So at least you've got your name out there now. The first one's ticked off, and I'm sure there'll be many more along the line.
But honestly, all the jokes aside about the commentary, what an experience! Like in a weird way, exactly how you'd imagine it to be, but also very surreal and different from how you'd imagine. So there's a lot of smaller details that I've not even considered. So kind of like the night before the race, when we had like a team meeting, they do like a little mini presentation of all the people that are getting their first ever senior vest or their first like junior call up, where they say a couple of words, you know, get a little memento thing from the like team captain.
Oh yeah, I saw that. Or, your little glass thingy, what's it called?
Yeah, it's a glass cube, kind of, with like,
like a paperweight type thing.
Yeah, exactly like that.
It's cooler
nice
than
touch
it sounds.
That, isn't it? Nice touch, nice little sentiment.
Yeah, it's kind of like when the cricketers get a cap or whatever at the start of the match, and you're like, it seems pretty cool. So it's things like that, and sort of, you know, obviously there's the normal things, like when you get the kit, you're like, bloody hell, I've got the kit, like, this is really cool. You're getting all this free stuff, you're like, oh, that's what everyone wears, it's really cool. So there's those things which you know are going to be cool when they happen, but it's all the little details that I actually, you know, realise them. Just some of the social stuff, just sitting and having conversations and being like, bloody hell, like, I used to watch you like on TV or whatever and think like, oh, he's really quick, or like, that guy's really good or whatever. And it's now I'm, you know, running with you, or at least on the same trip as you, you know? So
yeah, that's amazing.
It was really cool. And it makes you think, you know, if you actually do put in some good training, you can get quite far. So when I've had a week like I've had this week where I've had to have a few days off, I've only run 30 miles and I'm like, oh, bit. Not down, but I'm kind of like, oh, it's an unsuccessful week or not a productive week. It makes me think, right, it's only 1 week. You know, if I can put together 12, 13 more weeks building up into whatever I'm going to train for in 2023, then, you know, hopefully should be able to get something good out of it. You just got to kind of keep momentum, and consistency kind of beats everything. So, no, it's been a good few weeks, actually, for me. So, albeit this week has not been great, I'm still in good spirits. Which, you know, I guess it's... Go on, Tom.
No, I was going to say that the absolute best thing about all of this that you've missed is the fact that you've got like the GB backpack and like the full tracksuit, which every time you go on holiday, if you're going Lanzarote with the missus, you can just rock your full GB tracksuit, backpack, suitcase everywhere you go. It's a pretty good perk, that.
Yeah. Have you got your name pinned onto the back of your rucksack like everyone seems to do?
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah. So, and you know why everyone does that? It's because if you think about it, it's pretty logical. Like, everyone's backpack's the exact same.
Yeah, that's true.
So, like, even though it seems like the weirdest subtle flex ever, to do that, you actually get given, like, and this happens at all kinds of races, but especially when it's like an international event or whatever, you get given like four numbers with your name on, and then you have like one for obviously to race in, but then you have one for like your tracksuit, one for your backpack. Like, you get given multiple copies for that very reason. So then you know you have things. Yeah. But don't get me wrong, you're walking through the airport, you're like, yeah, you know what I mean?
My name's on the back.
You're like, this is quality. And then you realise that you sat with everybody.
Had a whole new walk.
You're like normal on an EasyJet flight. Your bag's still getting thrown around by those baggage guys like it doesn't say GB on it. You know, it's like, you're just a normal guy. But yeah, it was quality. And also, and I don't know if we're going to talk about it when we mention some results, but to be there with such a successful GB team, I think made it so much better. So like you said, you had to get up early to watch my race, which was great. But then I had the rest of the day to watch like the under 23s. We got a first and a second, which is like unprecedented.
Incredible, yeah.
And then win the team. A lot of the girls and other juniors won things and got team events. And then to top it off with Emil at the end, finishing just behind Ingebrigtsen is like
insane. Yeah.
Like what a race to be able to go and watch. And whether phenomenal. It's my last GB vest or there's more in the future, I'll be able to say like, oh, remember that, you know, I'll always remember it for that reason. So that was quality.
That hill they had to run up looked absolutely, well, you had to run up it as well, but only the one time. But I think the in the men's race, they had to do it 9 times. I think that was absolutely brutal.
It was a joke. It was a joke. And that hill, honestly, you had to, I know it's a classic thing, or you had to be there to see it, but you actually did have to be there. Like, it was so steep.
Some athletes, when they were getting tired, literally were struggling to get up it, like physically had to basically come to a standstill and get their footing and go up it. It was absolutely brutal. And then don't you run through like some sort of museum or someone's house?
Castle.
Like amazing.
It was a little castle, maybe like 100 metres. And you know what was weird? It was really warm in there. Because obviously outside it was like -1 or like zero. It was honestly like pretty hot in there. So those guys that had to go through it a few times probably felt kind of, you know,
lost a few seconds in there.
Do you know what though? I love that. I think it's amazing to have little elements like that on a course because it just like the amount of clips that you see shared on people's stories and whatnot of people running through that little bit, got
people talking.
Exactly. It's good for the sport, right? It's good to bring visibility to it, even if it's from, you know, little viral bits and pieces like that. I thought it was quality. I enjoyed that.
100%. And speaking, to segue slightly, speaking about the, you know, exposure to the sport and things like that, Ben, you made how many, 10, 12 videos about your marathon build-up, and so did quite a few other content creators and things like that. And I honestly, as much as we joked at the start that I know stuff about running, really enjoy running, I did not know a thing about Valencia Marathon. I just knew it was a fast course. I didn't know that loads of people did it, who did it, how it was. And I feel like the marathon I know more about in the world now is Valencia, because I feel like everyone has made some kind of Instagram post or video in the last, you know.
Yeah, we definitely gave it some good publicity this year, that's for sure.
It's been crazy. Yeah. So
no wonder it sells out.
How many weeks ago was that, Ben? And
So Valencia was 2 weeks to the day. 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
Yeah, I think 2 weeks.
Do you want to go through your week then? Because
I'll jump into my week.
I've seen a couple of your runs, and it's a little bit suspect for me 2 weeks after a marathon, so I'm ready to find out.
No worries. Coaching cap on.
Yeah, I'm probably going to get a bollocking.
No, I'm just interested.
Yeah, so for me, I've sort of, after the marathon, I like to just have a little bit of downtime, but don't necessarily like to take time fully off running, which is, yeah, I'm sure we could all relate to it. It's very much like good for my mental health, and I like to just keep things ticking over rather than just taking, I don't know, a 2-week period completely off running, which I could do, but I'd like to think it would probably do me more harm than good. So I set myself a little rule of just running when I'm and what I want over the next sort of 2 weeks, so trying to take it easier. So I think the first week after the marathon I ran about 40 kilometers, and during my peak mileage I was running around 180 kilometers. So 40k for me is very low in terms of weekly mileage. And then this week I also had a lower mileage week. I think I hit 90 kilometers this week, so again fairly low in terms of overall intensity, and just doing what I fancy when I wake up, really, to be honest with you. So I'll start off with Monday morning. As Tom said, it was the snowy day. So I woke up and there was a lovely layer of snow, which is probably one of my favourite conditions to get out for running, actually, interestingly. I don't know about you guys, but running in fresh snow is, yeah, there's just something about it.
Yeah.
It is fun. I do love it.
World class.
So I started the week off with 10 snowy miles, 10 miles out on my local loop, averaging 4:41 per kilometer. I actually run in kilometers, but for some reason, if I ever run anywhere near 16, I round it up to 16.1 because that's 10 miles. Is that right?
Yeah, I did the exact same. 8.05 kilometers.
Otherwise, I'd get about 100 people right on Strava, like, oh, you should round it up, blah, blah, blah. And then that's obviously got in my head, and now I have to do 16.1 or 16.2, that one was. So yeah, nice and easy, just enjoying the snow, out of my beanie. Happy days. Moving on to, on a Monday evening, I went to the gym. I do my strength and conditioning work on Monday evenings with Hannah, who is my girlfriend's cousin. We have a bit of a joke that I call her family friend because we did a video together and I said she was an old family friend. So that's an in joke that Hannah is an old family friend. Anyway, did 30 minutes strength and conditioning, did a 10 minutes blast on the elliptical. I wanted to go for a run, but I thought, no, I've already run today. Take it easy. Jump on the cross trainer just to get a bit of a sweat on while I was waiting for my housemate. Charlie to finish up in the gym.
What's the game? What's the aim there, Ben? I'm just confused. Is that just because you're like a bit bored in the gym? You think, oh, my S&C's not made me kind of feel out of breath. I want to feel like,
yeah, exactly that.
So I'm just going to nail it for 10 minutes on the elliptical.
Yeah, well, I got on the elliptical without a plan, really. And I text Charlie saying,
I can tell the description says 180 max heart rate.
Solid, right?
Yeah, but what's
the, good going?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely interesting. At least you had a good night. That's all I
can say. Oh, yeah, exactly. That's my idea of a good night out. So I had 10 minutes to kill, basically. So I jumped on the cross trainer and just absolutely went for it and was like, I had my chorus on. I was like, how high can I get my heart rate? And 180 was the max heart rate. So if you want something fun for next week's training, get yourself down to your local gym and see how high you can get your heart rate.
You can only do this 9 days after a marathon.
Oh yeah. At this point, the marathon is just completely forgotten. I don't even remember that I ran a marathon. So I'm just like, crack on.
You're just doing your best Jake Smith impression, aren't you?
Exactly,
a quick side note, have you seen the amount of cross training that man has been doing?
It's incredible.
It is, yeah, it's phenomenal, quite something. Anyway.
He's back running the last few days. But it's Ben's week. Go on, Ben.
No worries. Well, my description is a little bit shorter than Jake's. No offense, Jake, but some of them can get a little bit lengthy. There we go. The first dig of the Run It Three Ways podcast.
No. This is a Jake Smith friendly podcast. The guys
we love Jake Smith. Yeah, and I have really enjoyed following his road back. I'm looking forward to what he gets up to next year.
He's a legend. Special. Anyone that meets him doesn't have a bad word to say about him. He's like, my mum met him for about 10 seconds at Liverpool and was like, who was that? Like, loved him. Why has he got so much energy? Like, he's so nice. So, yeah, big up Jake Smith.
Certainly, I can back that.
If he was your friend at school, he'd definitely be the one that your mum was like, you know, happy to come back round for dinner.
Yeah, but also the kind of guy that your mum would be like, don't just go off you two and do something silly. Like, you know what I mean? he's a wacky guy. He's a really wacky guy.
Anyway,
that was my
week, Ben.
That was Tuesday. Monday, sorry. On Tuesday, I went down back to the gym because I don't like running out when the conditions are dangerous. So I like to get on the treadmill and I quite enjoy it. I think it was really icy that morning. I think it's been down to about -5 overnight. And the country lanes around here are just basically not runnable, even if you wear trail shoes, especially to do any quicker stuff. So I went down to the gym on Tuesday morning and I did my first session back. So this was 10 days after the marathon. So for me, that's fairly sensible because last time I ran a marathon, I raced a half marathon the week after. So in my terms, that's fairly sensible. And I was actually feeling really good. I went down to the gym with my housemate, Charlie, again. He was off work. He had a snow day. He's a teacher and his school weren't in because they had so much snow in that area. So he actually joined me on the treadmill and did the same session. He's also a semi-professional footballer, so he's trying to build some fitness back. So that was good fun. I said to myself when I went in the gym that I was going to keep it nice and easy, keep the treadmill at 11.5 miles per hour, which is around 320 per kilometer. But instead, I whacked it up to 12 miles per hour for the session. Again, not listening to the take it easy sort of motto that I had for myself at the start of the week and just sort of went for it. I was feeling good and really enjoyed it. So that's the main thing. And then, yeah, I did have a cross country. I've got written here in the description, cross country this weekend if the weather clears up. So my idea was just to get a little bit of a session in, get the legs ticking over on the treadmill and then hopefully race at the weekend. But that didn't happen because of the weather conditions. Moving on to the Thursday, I woke up and I was like, what should I do today? So I went down to the gym again, because it's still fairly icy outside, and I did a tempo on the treadmill, set it to 10.5 miles per hour, which is around 3:33 per kilometer, which is about 10 to 15 seconds slower than my target marathon pace. Well, I say target, I didn't hit that target in Valencia, but roughly that gives you an idea of the sort of effort it was. I did 12 miles on the treadmill for what day was that? Was that Wednesday? Yeah, Wednesday.
So Ben, just sorry if I missed it at the start. So this week you didn't actually have a plan. Your plan was just to run and see how you felt.
Exactly, yeah. Just take it how it came. Wake up every morning and do what I fancied, basically. So
the lesson of the week is probably always have a plan then, I think, for you, isn't it?
It's sort of sounding that way, isn't it?
You're seeming pretty impulsive. Like, I had to double check on your Strava here. So the 13th, whatever day that was, that's what you've done 3 times 2 miles at 5 minute miling.
Yeah.
And then the 14th, which is the day after, it says 12 mile tempo.
Yeah.
call me crazy. I don't think that can be the best way to train. But
probably not, mate.
But
maybe I had
not.
A good time. So that was amazing.
Let me tell you, you've got 1500 kudos on that. So good on you. So
The most important part, isn't it? In all seriousness, I think it is important to preach the enjoyment factor, because I know from conversations with you, Ben, where we've spoken about coaching and yourself being self-coached. I think it was in Copenhagen Airport where we were like, if you've got a coach, like the potential could be astronomical, or could be someone who has to run this way to run well, or you don't enjoy it. So although definitely as a disclaimer, like what Callum's saying, it's probably not the best idea for really anyone to do those 2 days back to back after Valencia, especially after what happened in Valencia. But at the same time, we got to remember that, you know, like, you're doing this for fun at the end of the day. It has to be fun.
And that's what it comes down to. For me, for the last sort of 12 weeks, I've been following a strict plan that I set myself. And I followed it basically to the T. So in this 2 week period of recovery, if you like, that's what I've sort of called it. The branch of the last 2 weeks has been recovery. The mileage has been low. I've just been doing stuff that I enjoy doing, and a 12 mile tempo on the treadmill is just something that gets me going. So I just thought, why not give it a go, have a bit of fun, and see how we fare up after that.
I can't laugh. It's a slippery slope if I start joining in with this kind of banter on episode one, because when we all end up injured and we've got nothing to talk about like other podcasts, we're going to be in trouble, boys.
So, exactly.
I'll
this isn't the normal. I promise you, this isn't the normal. We're back a strict training regime as of next week.
It's two good sessions, but yeah, go on, run us through the final 2 days.
When was that?
Three days. Sorry,
3 days. So that was a Thursday, and then Friday I actually had off. Just because my girlfriend had the car that evening. So I did plan to go to the gym, but I went to go to the car and it wasn't there. So I thought, no, that's perfect. I'll have a little day off. Why not? Treat myself. So that brings me on to the Friday. And on Friday, I went for a run at a place called Heybridge Basin, which is fairly local to me. It's about a 10-minute drive, and it's a sort of coastal path that basically is trail, and you can run for as far as you want, but you have to sort of turn around and come back on yourself. And I actually forgot my watch that day, so I just started my Strava. Obviously, it's got to be on Strava, otherwise it didn't happen. Started my Strava on my phone, and just chucked it in my back pocket and ran in one direction for as long and as quick as I wanted to, and then turned around and ran back to the car. And that was 23 kilometers at 4:30 per kilometer pace, which for me is around my easy run pace. And then on Saturday, I again took the day off. After that run, actually, I had a little bit of tightness in my left calf, which I think was just running on the trail for a longer period of time.
It could have been. I can think of other things, but it could have.
Yeah, it could. I think it was that, mate. There's no.
It could have been 3x2 mile followed by 12 mile tempo on the treadmill.
We'll never know.
Yeah, obviously we'll never know. So anyway, we had Saturday off. That was nice to have a weekend off. And then today I went out for a Sunday long run, 21 kilometers at 4:08 per kilometer. So sort of a steady, or between easy and steady pace. And yeah, that was probably my only my third run outside this week. So for a grand total of 93 kilometers was my week this week.
Lovely stuff. Nice. Lovely stuff. And you know what, what's the plan? Sorry, Ben, when does the next set of training start, or is this the week coming going to be another freestyle?
It's going to be a sort of a mixture, I reckon, next week.
Okay.
It's yet to be totally confirmed, but I've actually got another race sort of locked in now for the end of February. So I'm going to start about thinking about structuring the training a little bit more towards that. And I've also got the Essex Championship cross country just after Christmas. So I need to start implementing a bit of speed work again, but keep the mileage fairly low relative to what I was hitting over the marathon block.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, we laugh about that training week, but really, when you break it down, the only real notable part is the fact that the two sessions that you did were back-to-back, because you've got a couple of rest days in there. You've done a fair bit of easy running in there and a bit of sort of slightly steadier running this morning at like 4:08 per K.
Yeah.
So really, like, it's not that outrageous. It's mainly just like it's a bit of a shock to the system when you see both those sessions come up back to back, one day after the other.
And the reason behind it for me was I was like, I want to do some faster stuff this week. Last week I did completely easy running, I've been itching to get back into it. And I was also had in the back of my mind that I was going to be racing across country on the Saturday, so I wanted to get a little bit of speed work in. Decided to do that at the start of the week, so that hopefully when it came to the race on the Saturday, I'd be nice and topped up with that little bit extra fitness, but also should still be fresh and ready to give it a good go on the cross country. But that never happened, so that was all, I don't know.
Why was it cancelled?
The ground was frozen, I think. It was -7 the night before. It was on the Saturday, the race.
Yeah,
so it's probably a smart decision, to be fair, from the organisers. But it was only an Essex League cross country as well, so on the grand scheme of things, it didn't really matter. But yeah, that was called off.
No, it sounds good. After those training weeks, I was just—I know we didn't have this on the plan, but something that just came to my mind is perhaps to kind of outline what the potential storylines for each of us might be. Tom, are you training for anything specific in terms of like a bigger milestone in 2023 or something that you're looking to achieve? And Ben, I don't know if you can reveal the specifics, but similar with yourself.
Yeah, definitely. So I think the main thing for me is that when I started running and started getting proper into it, I did a handful of races, 5Ks, 10Ks, and then Cambridge Half in 2020 was like the first proper race I did. And if you, I don't know if you remember, but that was March time. And March 2020 probably wasn't the best time globally. And so everything shut down after that, and I didn't race again for about a year and a half. So I'm so eager to just race more frequently. Like, I see Ben's probably on the total opposite end of the spectrum, but seeing how frequently you get out there and just kind of test yourself in race conditions, even if you've had like a full training week, you're not tapered, like that is really what gets me going at the moment, and what is exciting me, like the prospect of just racing more without having these big like marquee goals in the headlights.
Are you going to do Cambridge Half?
When is it next year?
It'll be similar date, I don't know. Shall I have a look? But yeah, it'll be around the same time, won't it?
Yeah, do you know what, I'd love to. Yeah, I'll have a little look at that, because I've spent a couple of years in Cambridge and absolutely love it around there. Well, where you're based there now, so
exactly. So if you need pacing, mate, then just let me know.
But yeah, I think that's it really. Over the winter, the plan really was to get quicker over the shorter stuff. That's not gone brilliantly up until now, but I'm optimistic that kind of from here on, I'll be able to knuckle down and get some consistency back. Because I know that the longer distances are really my spot. So the half is definitely my favorite distance. And I had a couple of decent races at the big half and Copenhagen half in the build up to London on very, very tired legs, which both went pretty well. So ultimately the marathon is still, it's still like my temptress, if you like. It's there. I know it's waiting and I know that I need to bang a good one. But I'm just trying not to be After London, it was like I had a place for Valencia, and then I was looking at spots for Seville as well, just to like how quickly can I put London behind me and jump straight back into another marathon and make the most of the fitness and have a good day and all the rest of it. And I just had to put that to bed and be a bit more sensible with it. So it's now most likely going to be, I'm hoping, nothing confirmed, but I'm hoping Berlin, either Berlin or maybe even Valencia next year will be the, yeah, when I take on the marathon again and give it a proper bash.
Sounds
Good,
good.
good stuff, Ben. What about yourself?
Yeah, for me, next year will be mainly focused around the marathon again. I'd like to have another crack at running a faster marathon than I ran this year. So I've got my first marathon of the year at the end of February, so quite soon after Valencia. I think it's only about 3 or 4 months in between the two. So I won't have an ideal in terms of build into that first marathon of the year. An opportunity came up. I might as well reveal where I'm going. I'm actually going to Osaka in Japan.
Oh,
Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to that trip. And it's actually through Mizuno. So I'll be running in their new super shoe, which will be fun. I'm actually
oh, calf eaters. I can say it, Ben. I know you can't. You're working with them, but absolutely. I don't know what they're like. I've never used them, but they look like they will munch somebody's calves up.
Do you know
Yeah, they
what?
definitely will, I reckon.
Do you think so? Because we've both got a pair, right, Ben? And I think they are. I think they're as legit as they come, and I'll be as harsh as anybody else on Mizuno when it comes to having the most boring trainer lineup for years. But the Rebellion Pro is a
Is that
solid
what they're
shoe, I
called?
think.
Rebellion Pro.
And
Well,
technically, I haven't been even allowed to tell you what the name of the shoe is, so we're breaking rules there. But yeah, it's written on the side of the
do you
shoe,
know
so it's
what?
knowledge to everyone.
Do you know what? I think the rules have changed a little bit because the guys in the US leaked that early. So now the embargo's sort of just out the window and we can
Yeah, I said it
call
anyway.
it
I just guessed it. If anyone asked, I guessed it.
what it is. Yeah, there we go. But no,
That's
it's a good
exciting.
shoe, isn't it? Yeah, if anyone hasn't seen pictures or images of the shoe, it basically doesn't have much of a heel section to the midsole. So it's almost like a really aggressive rocker type shoe.
It looks like a lady's high heel, well, or men's high heel shoe, but without the heel. That's exactly what it looks like.
Looks like a bit's missing, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know what? It's without going on too much of a tangent on this one specific shoe. If there's anyone listening to this who is proper into their running shoes, and to plug another podcast, the Inside Running guys over in Australia, they've got their Shoe Geeks podcast with Knitter, Tom DeCanto, and Moose. And they did their most recent episode. They did a bit of a deep dive on the Wave Rebellion Pro, and there are some freaky measurements where it's technically under 40 mil, but if you take a reading with calipers of like that midfoot section, it is outrageously high stacked.
You definitely
Yeah,
notice it when you're running it.
it's mental.
It
Yeah,
takes a little bit of time to get used to.
it does. But I think it's a solid shoe. I don't think you'll have. It's not a shoe that you'll run that marathon in and think, "Oh, I could probably do with something else." I reckon you'll be good at it.
Yeah,
No,
it's very
what an
comfortable.
opportunity as well. What an opportunity, Ben. So
Yeah, I'm really looking
congrats on
forward to
that.
that.
And
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
yeah, that'll be good motivation for the training, at least knowing that you want to make it happen on a in a really cool place. If you can get a PB, that'll be one to remember. So no, sounds
Exactly, yeah.
good.
How about yourself then, Callum? What's your
No,
plans for
nothing as
2023?
exciting. Nothing as exciting, I'm afraid. I actually didn't know, for the record, what you guys were doing. So that was actually just out of my own interest as well as the listeners. I'm not going to do an indoor season in next year, just because I want to kind of build up a bit more base and strength over the spring and do some more cross countries, a few road races, before I kind of really hone in and try and, make the track season. I'm at the point where if I can nail down my times kind of 3, 4 seconds over the middle distance stuff, then it'll unlock a lot more opportunities. So yeah, I've got
And what
probably.
distance will they be over? Mainly 1500 meters,
I'll
or
mainly focus on the 1500, and I want to get a good 5K as well, a good 5000. But yeah, we'll just see when it comes to the summer. But as for 2023, the main focus, I guess, is the English national cross country, which we've got Cambridge. We've got a really good team chance at that, and I've never done the national either, so it'd be good to try and finish quite high up. And I've got a
That's
few
on
other.
the 25th of February. February, I believe.
Of February, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm racing for England in January, on January the 8th. So that's only 2 or 3 weeks away now.
Amazing. Where's that?
That's in Spain, Algoibar in Spain. That's 10.8K.
Interesting.
And usually gets won by some top class African runners. So yeah, that should be a good race. Going to be pretty tough, but a good fun one. So yeah, mainly I'm just getting back into training, getting some weeks together, not doing anything too specific. And then trying to get fit. I'll give a Battersea 5K a go in February, the Friday night 5K race, which has got a stacked field, which is great. It's going to be a great race. Mm-hmm. And some really good prize money that they're putting up as well. So if you're fast and you want to race, don't do it, because I want to win. So yeah, that'll be all I'm working towards, really. Nothing as bold and audacious as you guys.
For context sake, for context sake, Callum, when you talk about running a good 1500 and a 5000 for someone who, you know, maybe doesn't want to search you on Power of 10 and get some stats and statistics, like what would you be looking to run for 15 and 5000?
I mean, so I ran 3:40 this year, and this is the first season that I've done a 1500. Like, I'd never done one until May this year. So
yeah.
I really want to try and get down 3:36 something. I'd be happy with under 3:37. I think that would be a massive improvement. Don't get me wrong.
What would that put you in terms of the rankings in the UK? Would that be top 20 in the UK?
It depends what people run, but I reckon 25 to 30 guys run under 3:40, 3:41. Maybe it's a little bit less than that. You always forget, because if you count the world class guys, you're already at 5 or 6, because we're so deep now with like Whiteman, J.K. Wood. You know, the list goes on of people. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's one of those where like it seems like it's not a lot, especially if you haven't done middle distance, to take off 3-4 seconds. But when you work that out as like a per mile pace, it's like a crazy difference that you're trying to take off. You know, a second a lap, 4 seconds a mile. So it's, you know, a serious bit that you're trying to take off. But like with all the middle distance runners right now, I don't know if anyone saw Josh Kerr run a half marathon this weekend. I think it was today, actually.
He ran
63:44 for a half. So
what?
And he's run 3:29 or 3:28.
That's amazing.
So that just shows you how all the focus. And Neil Gawley a few weeks ago ran 13:16 for 5K. So all of these middle distance guys, I know that because of Jakob and all the sort of top guys are so strong. Mm. They need to work on their strength as well. So that's going to be the same for me, obviously not to such a great extent, but between kind of January and March, doing all my 10K cross countries, you know, being kind of in an extended base phase, if you will, just to try and get really fit and strong, and then hopefully have a really good summer. But you never really know this far out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really interesting talking to you, Callum, because I think both myself and Ben being a lot more kind of long distance orientated, it's like the times and the nuances there are a lot easier, I think, for people to grasp, like sub 2:30 for the marathon, or you know, sub 75 for a half, or whatever those goals may be. They're quite out there, right? Lots of people know what that means, and it's easy to quantify. But when you're talking about going from 3:40 for 1500 to 3:36 ish, I think, like you say, it's harder for people to understand quite how significant that drop is.
It's crazy. I just pulled it up. So in 2022 I was 25th in the UK with 3:40.3, and then 10th was 3:37.7, so that's exactly three seconds, pretty much. Is that two and a half seconds between being in the top 10 in the country and being in the top 25? So it's like, you know, we're literally talking about nothing, whereas in the marathon, 3.5 seconds would separate, you know,
one place,
one person, if that, you know. It's pretty interesting, but yeah, for now I'm not a 1500 runner. I'm a, you know, 5K, 10K runner until I need to be, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Love it. Have you got aspirations to jump on the roads in the future and get amongst some longer stuff?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's what, you know, primarily did until this summer, where I had some success in the 1500. So yeah, definitely have got a lot more to do, and I mean 5k on the track as well. I need to run a good, you know, a better time than I've run so far, hopefully, as well. So yeah, it's one of those things, really, where similar with yourself in your sort of more relaxed approach to racing right now, it's you know, playing the field a little bit, working out where you might fit in, where you have a good chance at maybe a representative vest, depending on what, you know, the years are. For me, it's like, what times do I need to kind of impress sponsors more than others and things like that to try and take a next step. So, no, it's exciting stuff, and hopefully we'll share some successful stuff on the pod as the episodes go.
Sounds really good. I think it's going to be absolutely fascinating being able to follow along each other's stories, especially because we've got such different sort of approaches in the running world. Looking back at our little show notes that we've created here, because we're obviously a very professional podcast. We've talked through the introduction and a little bit about ourselves. We're going to cover some race results. Just for a bit of context, we actually planned to film this. Do you film podcasts? Record.
Yeah, we plan to record. One day we'll have a little studio, won't we? Some exposed brickwork and some house plants in the background. Like the do it the proper way. But for
exactly,
now.
Yeah. For now we're just sitting here on our phones talking into a microphone. Should we jump on some race results?
Yeah, race results and running news, I reckon, sounds about right.
Sounds good.
Who wants to kick it off?
Yeah, well, Ben, were you about to fire away?
No, mate, you can go ahead.
The one that I wanted to mention primarily was obviously Josh Kerr. He ran a half, which I just thought was an outstanding result. Some random half marathon as well. I've never heard of it before. But it seemed like the Brooks Beasts had it all. All of them had a bit of a run out.
Yeah.
He also, you know, I've always wondered this, but he just like took a picture of his watch and stuck it on his Instagram story, you know, just to say like, yeah, this is the time that I run pretty casually. And I always look, you know, like you just forget that like these runners just do that sort of thing. You know, you think it's way more professional than that. But no, just slap on a picture of the watch,
job done.
Which I quite liked. And then Friday night was a really good race in Battersea Park. It was a 5 mile race, which you don't really hear often. But Keith Schofield and his team that put on the races there always do a great job. They were out there shoveling and gritting.
Yeah, absolutely. Incredible to get that race on.
Proper grassroots stuff. I absolutely love watching those live streams and just seeing the amount of people who turn out to run a hard 5 mile around an icy Battersea Park. Like it's 100%. Yeah, sensational, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean the field that they got together as well was great. Henry McCluckey won kind of 23:30-ish, something like that, which was a rapid time. Adam Clark was second, so they're both obviously Adidas guys. And then from Cambridge, we had third and fourth, actually, two guys I trained with, Jonathan Phillips and Norman Shreve. So, yeah, great field. And,
Some pretty damn fast times, especially considering the conditions.
Yeah, so the top four all under 23:50, which I don't know what that is per mile, but I think Henry McCluckey that won, I think he averaged about 4:43s or something like that. So it's pretty quick, especially considering the ice. So, yeah, they're two races that stood out to me. Over the weekend, I'm not sure if there was anything over your side, boys.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of things over the weekend. Charlotte Perdue, she ran a very random half marathon in Thailand.
I did see that.
I don't know exactly what she ran on the video that I saw on Instagram. It was she was just coming up to the tape with like 72 ish on the clock, I think.
Nice.
We're actually meant to film with her the Monday just gone with ProDirect, but the weather pulled that off as well. So. She's off to Australia to do a training camp out there until March now. So, yeah, another one. It'll be really exciting to see what she does next year, what races she ends up lining up at. The only other thing I saw, I think it was the Abu Dhabi Marathon. Again, the details I'm quite loose on, but I think one of the pacemakers carried on. They're meant to get $2,000 or something just for the pacer job, but they ended up winning, breaking the course record, and they went home with about nearly $50,000. So
amazing.
Fair play to that man. Fair play to that man.
Exactly. There's 50K on the line and you've got to run another 5K. It's a no-brainer, isn't it, really?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that is unreal. Ben, any results from you? Or have you just been just stuck on the treadmill?
Yeah, just on the treadmill, mate. No, just from Valencia Marathon. I know it's been a couple of weeks now, but we had there's some pretty big results there. The winner was probably the biggest shock, if you like. A guy called Kelvin Kiptum ran the third fastest marathon of all time of 201 50 something, which is just incredible, which is, just to put it in context, Eliud Kipchoge's marathon world record is 201.09. So it's only some 40, 45 seconds off Eliud Kipchoge, the greatest marathon of all times record.
Is it incredible or is it unbelievable?
It's saucy, isn't it? It's very saucy.
It is indeed, yeah.
That's what I'll leave you with there.
Should we say it was his debut as well?
It was his debut.
We need to mention that. I mean, he's run...
He's 23 years old.
Yeah. I mean, he's run like 58, 40 something for the half, and he's run a couple of decent half marathons. But when you look at his results compared to that, it's difficult, really, because the drug testing at Valencia, it only gets its platinum label right from being very good by industry standard in drug testing. So it's a tricky one, because on the women's side as well, obviously that result was probably, comparatively to previous results, probably even more outlandish. I can't remember exactly what she ran, but it was 2:14 something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I think her previous best was 2:20, so yeah, like 6 minute PB, and she hadn't raced for about 2 years, I don't think, either. So yeah, some interesting results.
I personally would love to think that they were 100% genuine, but obviously these sort of big jumps in time do bring up some questions, especially with the sort of the doping controversy that's happening, especially in the Kenya and in other African countries at the moment. But yeah, incredible run nonetheless. I think he closed the second half marathon in under 60 minutes, which is just phenomenal. 59 minutes 50 seconds, I believe, which is
wild,
absolutely insane.
Did you put it on Strava?
I don't know. I followed him on Instagram and he didn't have many pictures on there, so I couldn't get a link to his Strava.
It is quite funny because I have to do it for work, like if we do a race report or something.
Yeah,
you'll post a picture of them breaking the tape and then furiously search to try and find them on Instagram to tag them, and it will always just be, you know, they'll have a few little pictures and it'll be them in like a checkered shirt and some chinos like on their farm or something, and you think,
yeah,
this guy's just run 201. Right, and it's, yeah.
And he's got 300 followers on Instagram. Yeah, absolutely no running content at all.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is crazy. And a few other results from Valencia. We had Sinead Diver, the Australian runner. She ran 2:21 to break the Australian women's record. And over in Japan, we had Brett Robinson, who also broke a 31-year-old Australian record over the marathon. And he ran 2:07:31. So both the Australian records went down within maybe a couple of hours each other, which is, pretty incredible for Australian distance running. And I thought worth a mention.
Valencia, there was about 5,000 national records. I think every single country, I think, had their national record.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Switzerland, Spain, Gibraltar, like every man and his dog was just breaking them. It was good to watch, actually, because normally you switch off after a certain point.
There's storylines everywhere,
just breaking them.
So many storylines.
No, that was good to watch.
I think the best thing about that as well, really, just quickly on the Aussie side of things, is the fact that, Ben, I know you're into For the Kudos podcast with Brett and Joel, and Sinead Diver's pretty frequent guest on the Insight Running podcast. So for me, I would have no idea that people like Sinead and Brett, you know, you wouldn't really know much about them if it wasn't for those podcasts. I wouldn't feel invested in them. But to see them both, you know, break the Aussie record like within a few hours of each other, like I was really up and about for it. I loved it. I thought it was 100%. Amazing to see. And
you
we
feel like
mention...
you almost were part of it because you've,
you've
listened along, you've followed the journey, and you know what it means to those athletes for finally getting their perfect marathon. I think Sinead, I know she doesn't like it being mentioned, but she's 45 years old, and that's her 14th or 15th marathon that she's ever run, and to finally get one that went to plan and to break that record is just must have been incredible. I can only imagine what that would have felt like.
Shout out Sinead.
I don't think it's ageist. Yeah, I don't think it's ageist to say, but, you know, being a mum who I think up until recently had like a full-time job on the side as well, to be 45 years of age and to run that fast, like 2:21, I think it was for a marathon it's spectacular. It's phenomenal, love it.
Incredible. Yeah, took a lot of inspiration from that.
Any mums out there listening, don't give up on your dreams.
Callum's in it for the mums. I'll be surprised if there are any mums listening to this podcast. But I could be wrong.
You never know. If you're a mum, comment on our latest Instagram.
Send us an email.
Yeah. a couple of other things that just popped into my head from this week, which were race results. Two people I coach. First one, Danny Clayton, Pico Cross Country League up in Leeds. Came 12th, highest finish so far. Danny, well done. Had to mention that. And amazing. Second
Danny.
One, yeah, big up, Danny. And the second one was a race coming up on Wednesday. Charlie McCarthy, many of you might know him from the Sweat Elite videos. He films everything. Mm-hmm. Guy's a genius. He's racing this coming Wednesday in Battersea Park, 5K, big PB attempt. So
come on, Charlie.
Good luck.
What's he aiming for? What's he going for?
He's aiming. Wait, depends who turns up. He's either
12:35.
Yeah. No, he's either trying to just to win the race if it's a bit icy and kind of the field's not that great, or he's going to aim for around 16:30, 17. I think would be good. Gross. It all depends on the conditions. So yeah, he'll give it a good crack, I'm sure.
Sweet. Good luck to Charlie then.
Yeah. Good luck, mate.
Yeah. Good luck, mate.
He's probably not going to listen to this,
especially not this far in.
I think the other big bit of news to mention, really, away from race results, is I don't know how many people listening saw Mark Scott and his departure from the Bowman Track Club, which I'm personally, as a fan of road racing, like, unbelievably excited about. To see someone like that who's got such good track acumen and has performed well on the roads as well at like Antrim Half and all the rest of it, like, to see him kind of make that leap to, I guess, full time road racing is very special. And it's going to be exciting to follow that and see what he ends up doing next year, because he's surely got potential to run bloody fast over the marathon.
For sure.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good seeing another face on the road running scene. It's a bit like when Farah moved to the roads and it was like, oh, wow, we actually have a reason to kind of, we might have a guy up there in one of the top packs, etc., in these road races. I think it's good British element. Emil Carrez in the same boat. I know he already is known for being a road runner pretty much, and obviously good cross country. Obviously, he's good on the track as well, but primarily the roads. So I think London's April, right? Could be, pretty interesting once they start declaring a few names, because not only will we have, I'm sure, well, not, I don't know anything, by the way, but I'm sure we'll have the regular Brits that will do it, like Sessaman, Ross Braid, and people like that did it this year in that category. But if we can have some Brits like Emil or Mark or whoever wants to do it that can actually be in that, 208, 209 category, for example, that could really make the race a little bit better for us viewers. So fingers crossed.
Yeah. I wanted to talk a bit about Emil as well, because he's one of those guys who keeps under the radar from a social media standpoint. Like, he's appeared in a few Sweat Elite videos and whatnot, but generally speaking, he seems to stay off socials. And he recently moving to Canova to be coached under him is massive. Like, Renato Canova, probably, one of the most mysterious and... I don't know how you describe
it.
But
honestly, if Emil wins, if he can win like an Olympic gold, he's getting a movie, right? He's this mysterious, quiet boy from Bradford, right? Moves to the bright
incredible lights. Incredible
accent. The bright lights of Meanwood in Leeds, which, by the way, he's not very good. It's a nice place, but there's not a lot going on, right?
Yeah.
Gets a coach on the other side of the world, all right? Yeah. And just starts running a ridiculous amount. He runs like 120, 130 miles a week. He does unbelievably crazy sessions that take hours and hours for him to complete at the track, and he just cracks on by himself and does them. Has no social media presence, doesn't strike me as an overly flashy guy, but he just gets the business done. What a guy.
He's a runner's runner, right? And I think that's it. I'm incredibly excited to see what he can do on the roads, like debut marathon. Like, you've got to be looking at, it's difficult to throw a time out there, isn't it? But he's got to be looking at some pretty quick times. And that's going to be exciting just to watch him, like you say, being in some of those lead packs or second packs in these big races and to actually get some airtime. It'll be fun to follow along with.
Certainly will.
Exciting stuff. Cool, boys. What are we up to this week?
I think just continue the recovery process for me in terms of coming back from the marathon. Obviously, we've got Christmas coming up as well. So Christmas Day Park Run is going to be a big one for me. I'm dressing up as Santa Claus himself, and seeing what I can do over my local park run. So that'll be good fun. Just enjoying the Christmas period, but not putting too much pressure on the running. Just seeing where things go, really.
Good to hear, Tom.
Yeah, lovely. get a bit more consistency this week. And yeah, just enjoy Christmas. Like I say, with a young daughter, she's absolutely mad for it this year, and it's probably gonna be like the first Christmas where she's like fully understanding what's going on, and she's had a say on like decorating the tree and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, looking forward to that.
That
But I
sounds
will
really
be getting
nice.
out for a run on Christmas Day as well, just to bring home the festivities.
Exactly, you've
So
got
yeah.
to really, haven't you?
Oh, of course. What about yourself, Callum?
Yeah, just normal week of training, really. I'll be heading back home to the family later on in the week, so get some nice runs back in Leeds with a few people that I've not seen in a while, which will be lovely as usual. Christmas Day parking, obviously tradition for me, so I'll be keeping that one up. But fingers crossed, next time we record, I'll have a good few miles and maybe even a couple of sessions under the belt. But I'll have to check what coach has got to say.
That sounds good. So that basically brings us to the end of our first episode. I think that went pretty well. Did you enjoy that, guys?
Oh, it
I
was
had a
decent.
lovely time. I
Yeah,
had a
it's lovely
lovely
just
time.
chatting, running for a good hour and 15 minutes. I will just mention, if anyone wants to send us some questions or some stories of their running accolades over the last few weeks, then you can do so at runitthreewayspodcast@gmail.com. And we look to have this as a bit more of a segment and moving forward, sort of talk through any questions you may have relating to running, or maybe you want to share an embarrassing story. I think it would be really cool to try and get some listeners involved in the podcast, so it isn't just us rambling on about our weeks. But yeah, thank you very much for joining me on this first episode, guys, and I'll speak to you again next Sunday.
See you later, guys.
Lovely. Nice one. Speak
See
to you
you
later.
later.
Cheers, guys.